بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. First of all, I want to apologize for being late a few minutes, but it was for a good reason. So alhamdulillah, we had a sister who just took the shahada, alhamdulillah. She was a little nervous in doing so publicly, so we said we'll save her from that, but I'm sure the sisters will be able to find her afterwards and congratulate her inshallah, and we welcome her to the community and to our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her and continue to grant her goodness and peace and love and increase in iman in both worlds, inshallah. Second thing I also want to mention is that I believe last week when I was referring to the verse regarding following the nafs, following the desires, I may have said that it was the words of Luqman the wise, and rather I realized afterwards is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructing Dawood alayhi salam, where he said, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that do not follow your whims and your desires, because they will take you away from, they will take you off the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I apologize for that as well. We are almost one third into the sanctified sacred month of Muharram, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar. Today is the 9th of Muharram. Tomorrow will be the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, and Sunday will be the 11th, inshallah. The 10th of Muharram, which is tomorrow, holds special significance. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ would fast, not just on the 10th, but he would increase his fasting in the month of Muharram. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that the best of fasting after Ramadan is fasting in Allah's month, the month of Muharram. And the reference to the month of Allah being a means of displaying its importance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that regarding the fasting on the day of Ashura, that I hope Allah will expiate thereby for the year that came before it. So a fasting on the 10th of Muharram is highly encouraged, something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do, and he said that this, my hope is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expiate through the fast of the day of Ashura for the year that came before it. And again, it's one of those opportunities that Allah gives us from time to time to reflect, to take a break. And I don't know about you, but you know, being a few months now after Ramadan, you already start feeling. You start feeling it within yourself. You know, the habits are not the same. The high that you had during the month of Ramadan is not the same anymore. It's gone a bit. You know, if you were lucky and you went for Hajj, then hopefully you had a good boost, right? But otherwise, it starts that zeal and that the spirituality that we feel in the month of Ramadan, it starts fading away over time. And I'm feeling it as well for myself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these opportunities to connect, to reconnect, to increase that signal, right, of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reflect, to take a pause, and really try to get a taste of that high that we were feeling during the month of Ramadan. And Abbas radiallahu anhu said that I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so keen to make sure he fasted any day and preferring it over another except this day and the day of Ashura, meaning the 10th of Haram, which again is tomorrow. And he said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and this month meaning Ramadan. So I never saw the Prophet ﷺ so keen to make sure that he fasted any day and preferring it over another except this day, the day of Ashura, and this month, meaning the month of Ramadan. So the Prophet ﷺ was very keen about fasting on the day of Ashura. And one of the reasons why he was keen was to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show gratitude for what? For saving the Bani Israel, for saving the children of Israel and Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun. From saving them from the predicament which they were faced with, and the problems that they were facing from Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam saved the Bani Israel on that day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, when he emigrated to Medina from Mecca, he noticed that the Jews of Medina were fasting on the day of Ashura. And he said, "What is this? And why are you fasting on this particular day?" And they said that this is a good day. This is the day when Allah saved the children of Israel from their enemy, and Musa fasted on this day. And our Prophet, Musa, alayhi salam, Moses, he fasted on this day. So the Prophet said, "We have a closer link to Musa than you do." Right? We have a closer link to Musa, alayhi salam, because he is our Prophet, and he came and he preached the same message of Tawheed. And he received guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are continuing that tradition by following the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have a closer link to Musa than you do. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fasted on this day, and he told the people to fast as well. Now, to differentiate from the fasting of the Jewish people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended adding an extra day, adding another day. So some narrations mention the 9th of Muharram, so fast on the 9th and the 10th, which will be today and tomorrow. And others also mention either adding a day before or adding a day afterwards. So fasting today and tomorrow, or if you haven't been able to fast today for some reason, then you can fast Saturday, and you can also fast Sunday, and that will serve the same purpose as well, inshallah. It is also reported in a number of authentic narrations that in the beginning, the fasting on the day of Ashura, meaning the 10th of Muharram, was actually obligatory for the Muslims. And later on, the fasting of Ramadan was made obligatory, and the fast of the day of Ashura was made optional. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though, he used to fast on the 10th of Muharram, on the day of Ashura, even after the fasting of Ramadan had become obligatory. So this was a tradition which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. So inshallah, we should all try as much as possible. It's not like it's obligatory. It's not that we have to, but we should try and make an effort, inshallah, if possible, to fast tomorrow on Saturday. And if you're not fasting today, then to fast on Sunday as well. And you know, if you haven't fasted since Ramadan, you'll notice a big change, right? Because of course the time has changed. You know, sunset has come back a good 4 hours or so. Right? So it won't be the same as fasting in the summertime, inshallah. So it'll be something you'll enjoy, inshallah. Now, the 10th of Muharram is a significant day. It is a day of significance. And the first thing we understand from the hadith is that this is the day when Bani Israel, when the children of Israel were saved from Fir'aun, and Musa alayhi salam, he fasted to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the situation of the Bani Israel then, when we look at the situation of the children of Israel at that time, they were people who were persecuted severely. They were people who were severely persecuted, and they were considered to be some of the most lowly members of society. And Pharaoh was a vicious tyrant. He was very vicious in his tyranny, and he would, you know, kill all of their boys, all the baby boys which were born to the Bani Israel. He would kill them all because he was afraid that one of them might grow up to challenge him. So his policy was, get rid of all their baby boys, all their children, male children, as soon as they're born, so that I don't have this fear and this risk of being challenged by one of their children who will grow up to become a man. And he would use every means to demean them, to demean the Bani Israel, and to disgrace them. Everything that was possible. You know, he kept them in bondage, and even, you know, Fir'aun al-Dhil Awtad, the term, is used because the Mufassirun, the commentators of the Qur'an, say that he was so vicious, he's such a tyrant, he's such an oppressor, that he would use pegs and stakes to torture those who went against him. He would put them through their body and to hold them down and to torture them. Not just kill them, but torture them and give them pain and suffering. So the Bani Israel were subjugated, and they were weak and they were helpless. And they were so weak that they were too weak to even rise up against the oppression of Fir'aun. They were not able to escape. They were not able to run away. So this was the situation of the Bani Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrates this, of course, the story in many places in the Qur'an. One of the places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فعليه توكلوا إن كنتم مسلمين. And Musa said, my people, if you have believed in Allah, then in Him place your trust if you are obedient. So what did they say? فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجَعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So they replied, they said, in Allah we have placed our trust. We are in this situation where we are these lowly members of society, we are oppressed to the utmost. In Allah we have placed our trust. And they made dua, our Lord, do not make us a victim of the unjust people. And they continued their dua and they said their supplication and they said, وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And save us through your mercy from the disbelieving people. So this was the dua, this was the supplication of the Bani Israel, the children of Israel. And when the misery and the suffering went beyond all bounds, when it was just too much, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired His prophets, right? So Musa and Harun, both brothers, alayhim as-salam, with a plan of action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them guidance what to do in that situation. And the plan was for spiritual upliftment. The plan was for spiritual upliftment. And the plan contained an instruction to focus on the home. The plan contained an instruction to focus on the home and make it a source of spiritual strength, conviction, and righteousness. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Musa alayhi salam, the Harun alayhi salam, when the tyranny of Fir'aun became too much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّآ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَجَعْلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He revealed to Musa and his brother, have houses for your people in Egypt and make your houses worship oriented. Make your homes, make your houses places of worship, worship oriented. And establish salah and give good tidings to the believers. So this was the instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you want help, if you need a way of getting out of this predicament, you've got to start from the home. Focus on your home, on the homes of the people, and make them a source, a place of orientation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make them a place of spirituality. Make your homes a place of righteousness. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them. And establish prayer. And establish prayer. So essentially, solidify your link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Improve your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Improve your conviction and your belief and your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, and give good tidings to the believers. And note that although society was oppressing the Bani Israel, society in general, meaning the people of Fir'aun and the people who are following and believing in Fir'aun, they were all oppressing the Bani Israel. Musa alayhi salam, he made supplication against those in power. When he made dua for help, and when he prayed, when he supplicated against Fir'aun, he didn't make a general supplication for everyone. He made a specific supplication towards those who were in charge, who were in power, those who were causing this mischief. Those who are at the root of this problem. And Musa alayhi salam said, he says in the Quran, وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّوا عَن سَبِيلِكَ رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَى أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْدُدْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمَ. So Musa alayhi salam, he made dua, he said, our Lord, you have given Fir'aun and his group glamour and riches in this worldly life. You have given them all of that. So that our Lord, they may mislead people from your path. It said, our Lord, obliterate their riches and harden their hearts so that they may not come to believe until they witness the painful punishment. So Musa alayhi salam, he talked about Fir'aun and his chiefs and the people who were his group who were in charge. He didn't make a general dua against everyone who was a part of society at that time and who was oppressing them. And this dua, of course, was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Fir'aun was defeated. And we know the story that Musa alayhi salam was instructed, the believers were instructed to follow, they went towards the sea, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened it up, and they were able to escape. And Fir'aun drowned, and at the time of his drowning, exactly with the words of Musa alayhi salam, the dua that he had made, he said that I accept at that point when he was drowning, but it was too late. And Fir'aun was defeated. As we see the painful reality of our ummah today, this narrative holds very important lessons. This narrative, the story of the Bani Israel, and especially this part, the ending, holds very important lessons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. We all know that. We all say that. We all say we believe that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hope, so we must never lose our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must never, ever lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must continue forward, just as the Bani Israel did at that time. We must continue forward with patience and perseverance. Giving up, putting up our hands is not an option. We must continue forward for that which is true and that which is right. And more importantly, we must solidify our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must truly improve ourselves, our character, but our iman and our internal state, our spirituality, it must improve. And we must be righteous. We must be just. We must be righteous and we must be just. And we must not, this is very important, we must not wrong others in anger and frustration. We get frustrated, we get angry because of what we see and what we may be living through. But that does not permit us to become oppressors and to cause injustice ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise and all-knowing, we know that. Alim, Hakim, we know that. And sometimes oppression and injustice, as horrible as they are a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in His own wisdom as a way of testing others. As a way of testing people. And the means of reward and eternal uplifting for those who are being persecuted. Because when a person is acting as an oppressor, when a person is committing injustice, he or she is harming, firstly, him or herself. And the person who is being oppressed, the person who is at the receiving end of the injustice, yes, they are going through hardship. And yes, that person is suffering. But at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most just and is more fair. And everything will be balanced out at the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes uses that as a means of giving eternal uplifting and rewarding those who are being persecuted. The 10th of Muharram in history is another example of that. When we look at the tragic incident of Karbala, where the beloved grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hussein radiallahu anhu, and his people were brutally deceived and murdered. Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhu. He was brutally deceived and murdered. And this was injustice. This was oppression. This was wrong. This was bad. But it's a test for those who committed the oppression and they failed, clearly. And the one who was oppressed, Hussein, radiallahu anhu, he lost his life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him eternal upliftment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to reward him, inshaAllah. And this is definitely a tragedy which all the Muslims should mourn and remember, should know about. But our method of doing so, the method of that mourning and remembrance must be in accordance to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must be following upon our righteous and early predecessors and their understanding of how such a tragedy should be remembered. wailing and violent lamentations and so on. These are not part of the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. And the people who are righteous are righteous predecessors. Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَطَمَ الْخُدُودَ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ The Prophet ﷺ said, he is not one of us who strikes his cheeks and rends his garment or cries with the cry of Jahiliyyah. So these types of actions, even in a time of sadness, is not from the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, not the tradition of our pious predecessors. Prophet ﷺ has also said, there is no Muslim who is afflicted by a calamity, and when he remembers it, even if it was in the dim and distant past, even if it was something which was many, many, many years ago, and he says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," meaning, "Verily to Allah we belong, and to Him, and unto Him is our return," except that Allah will give him a reward like that of that day when it befell him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for our patience. And if we show restraint at times of sadness and grief, and we remember in the way that Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed to us, by saying, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and making dua, and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah Allah will give us a great reward for that patience and that perseverance. So these tragedies, such as the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu, we should make it a means of remembering and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning lessons. Right? So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what happened to Musa alayhi salam, and he was saved. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn lessons from these tragedies and these stories, and we use them as motivation for standing up against oppression, as motivation for standing up against injustice, and also, as I mentioned, more importantly, making sure that we don't end up becoming the oppressors. We don't end up becoming those who commit injustices in the process. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and protect you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of the people who are on the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of those who are oppressed and who are facing injustices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide all of us and keep us on His path. Ameen.